Harp on Sports with Seth Harp.
You know what time it is.
3, 2, 1.
Let's do this.
Go, bartenders! Your food needs refill.
Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, and radio network. What do we have in store for you on this edition of the program? A little Gators Seeds of Change with Micah Hanglotten getting hurt against Auburn. Florida took a little bit of a blow, and it looks like maybe a potential 5 seed at the beginning of the day, down to a 7 seed. It's not actually a bad draw for them in their opening round, whether it be Boise State or Colorado. After that, it gets tough. Marquette's a beast. So we're going to look at what Florida has in store for them when it comes to the NCAA basketball tournament. Also, a little coaching hierarchy as we're going to look at the top 6, 7 jobs in college basketball that open up, rank them in order, which is the one that is the best job, which is the one that's the toughest. So there's more than 7 that are open, but we're going to look at the top 7, 7-11. And also, a ladies layout. I love when you can set things up to create drama. Like in the men's tournament, the fact that Texas and Tennessee may have to play each other, and Rick Barnes, the head coach at Tennessee, used to be the head coach at Texas, also used to be the head coach at Clemson. But the fact that that's set up, I love it. And I love what they've done for the women's bracket. Oh my God, I love what they did. All right. Again, Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, radio network. Follow, share, like, subscribe at Harp on Sports Twitter, at Harp on Sports Instagram, Harp on Sports Facebook page, Harp on Sports YouTube page under the bar, and of course, harponsports.com. All right. Florida Gator basketball. They are a 7 seed. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair, especially with the injury to Micah Hanglotten. And you may sit here and say, oh, well, that shouldn't matter. Of course it should. Of course it should. When Kenyon Martin got hurt, God, that's hard to believe that was 24 years ago. But Cincinnati was a 1 seed, probably going to contend with Michigan State for the national title. They fall to a 2, and they're not the same team. Neither is Florida. And you don't punish them. You don't drop them from like a 7 to 11. But if he were healthy and they had a 1, maybe a 5. But instead, a 7. I think that's fair. And now the reward for it, now you could be a 6 and have to take on an 11, or that actually maybe better than this 10 matchup that they get, because they get the Boise State winner and the Colorado winner. Now, here's the rub when it comes to this. You look at rebounding. Florida 7th in the country in rebounding. I went through and looked at Boise State and Colorado. Boise State 107th, Colorado 99th. So Florida, top 10 in the country in rebounding. Boise State 107th, Colorado 99th. So those are two big stats that jump off the page to me. Here's the other one. Hanglotten, 5.5 points a game, 7 rebounds, roughly. The Gators average 43 rebounds as a team. So what does that tell you? That he's responsible for a good chunk of them. 15% of them. 16% of them. So the Gators just lost 15% of their rebounding. He gave him 20 minutes, which is the other thing too, that he only plays half the game and he gives you that much. And then when guys get in foul trouble, I mean, this guy has been a consistent guy. This guy has been a depth guy. This guy has been, he's not the heart and soul of the team. The heart and soul of the team are the guards. But they're going to miss him. Now, they may not miss him in that matchup. They're going to miss him against Marquette. So the way I look at where Gator basketball is, should win the first game. Should. Now, they've got a couple things going for them. A, they're waiting one of the last 4 teams in. So Florida was the highest of the 7 seeds. Florida was the best of the 7 seeds. Some thought they should have been a 6, maybe. But you'd have been playing a better team. Now, really, it doesn't really matter because you're splitting hairs between the 2s and the 3s. Where do they fall in the 2-seed range? Well, you have to start to ask yourself. We're going to play Tennessee as a 2-seed. They weren't. Iowa State? Yeah, pretty rough, huh? Arizona? Oof. Marquette? Not the worst in the world, but it's a difficult matchup with him. With Hanglotten, it'd have been difficult. It's going to be really difficult. Look at the quads in the matchups when it comes to this. Boise State 6-5 in quad 1 games. Colorado 4-5. Florida 6-7. History tells you 7 seeds 107-69 against 10 seeds. So history tells you that Florida wins 1 game, and At the beginning of the year, we'd have ruled that a success. If you'd have gone to the beginning of the year, if I tell you Florida wins a tournament game without their second best rebounder, you'd have been like, oh, okay. Injuries are death. And the way they lost him, and you just see it, and they battled back. I give them credit. They battled back, but they were missing that extra lever, that extra layer, and they got ran out of the gym. They did. It would have been nice to win the SEC championship, but as the strongest seven seed, they'd have been a solid six with a win. Let's not forget they had an ugly loss to Vandy at the end of the year, and then they lose their second best rebounder. These things happen. Look, if you're going to punish Florida State in the college football playoff because players get hurt, then you get punished when injuries happen, don't you? We do not apply that rule. Well, quarterbacks are different. Oh, okay. Well, matters at some point, doesn't it? When you are a top 10 rebounding team and you lose your second best rebounder, it's going to affect your seeding. Again, can't be okay with Florida State. Oh, injuries. They can't be. Got to leave them out of the playoffs. Florida loses the second best rebounder. It shouldn't matter. It matters a little bit. A little bit. And it mattered a little bit. One seed. So I think if they'd have won the SEC championship, you may have been the weakest of the fives. If they'd have lost it, he still would have been around in the sixes. They lose it and lose their second best rebounder. They fall to a seven. So again, okay with all this. I think it's a good matchup for Florida. Again, you're going to be taking a team on Friday that played on Tuesday. So they got another game under their belt. You may say, well, that adds some momentum to it. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Mountain West got punished in this. And the Pac-12 was just not really that good this year. So Florida with an extremely solid first-round matchup, second-round matchup with Marquette's going to be a bear. Marquette tangling with the likes of Creighton, tangling with the likes of UConn. Florida dealt with Tennessee, not anything really like UConn. UConn's legit. God, they're good. And the way Creighton played at times, and Marquette, Big East, we'll see. But I like Florida at least for one game. And they'll be back to where they were 4 years ago when they won one of these, and there we go. There we go. 3 years ago. So there you go. All right. So the job that Todd Golden did gets the contract extension, something that happened since the last time we spoke, and deserving. I look at the jobs that have opened up. It's a good thing they did give him a contract extension because he'd have been a fit in a couple of these places. He'd have been a really solid fit in a couple of these places, especially the ones out west. So wipe your brow. There you go. Todd Golden in the fold. Future's bright. Giddy up. Speaking of coaching, the coaching hierarchy, I went through and looked. I've got seven teams that right now, look, Ohio State's made their hire. They're promoting from within and rank these in terms of the best possible situation to the one that's going to be the roughest. And I've got them like this. To me, of all these, of these seven right now, the one that's the roughest is Vandy. Vandy's the most difficult because of the academics that are involved with it. And they're hiring Chris Mack, which is a good hire. He had some issues with Dino Gaudio, an assistant, and some bribery, some things that were going on at Louisville, and they gave him the boot. He was a good coach at Louisville. Wasn't great, but he was pretty good. Very good, actually. Had some problems. Okay, the dust settles a little bit, and Vandy brings him in. Vandy's been chasing their tail since Kevin Stallings. He was a good coach. Had success with them. So Vandy, Chris Mack, that's the toughest job. That's a good hire for Vandy. Then I'd say the next toughest one out there is Stanford, again, because of academics. Again, ranking these seven through one, seven being the hardest. Chris Mack, Vandy, good hire. Stanford, I don't know what they're going to end up doing. To me, the fit there is Mitch Henderson from Princeton. Mitch Henderson, I mean, academic-wise, Stanford's hard academically, and so is Princeton. It's an Ivy League school. The problem is Mitch Henderson is... He's a Princeton grad. It's his alma mater. He's been there 10 years. He's had a lot of success. To me, he makes the fit for the Cardinal. There's an example right there of why Todd Golden, Florida locking him up is important because that one, and then you've got Washington, who I've got fourth on this list. That job is extremely difficult just because of getting guys to come to that region. But again, you look at the job Lorenzo Romar did, people forget about 10, 15 years ago, that was a one or a two seed every single year. It's been a while. But, you know, the fact that they're going to the Big Ten, that's why I have it higher on the list than, let's say, Stanford. Stanford going to the ACC, the Big Ten, just more money, more potential money there. It's also why I've got it ahead of, like, the likes of a Vanderbilt. I know the SEC is different, but academically, but I put Washington there at number five on the list. What do I have in there? Danny Sprinkle, head coach at Utah State. There you go. Number three on the list, got West Virginia, and they should hire Will Wade. Will Wade had his problems, trouble at LSU. What was a problem 4 or 5 years ago, what LSU was doing, is no longer a problem with NIL. So at McNeese State, he comes in, that's going to be a bear of a team in this sucker. That's going to be a nightmare of a team in this NCAA tournament. And Will Wade's a good coach. He's a good coach at LSU. If I were West Virginia, why do I? Come on, let's go. I'm in the Big 12. Somebody's going to hire Will Wade in the next year or two. Kind of like when Rick Pitino went to Iona, St. John's came along and said, we don't care, let's bring him in. And he had a pretty good year here. Didn't make the tournament, but had a pretty good year trying to rebuild that thing in Manhattan, in New York City. So, hey gang, Will Wade, that's who West Virginia should hire. Want to get back on top? That's the guy you go get. Number two, I've got Michigan, and with Juwan Howard being gone, I think Greg McDermott's the logical choice. He's been at Creighton a decade. He's had a lot of success. He's had deep tournament runs. This year may be his chance to go the deepest that he's gone. And you want a good, solid basketball coach that's proven to you that he can do things for a while. And to me, if I'm Michigan, I go get Greg McDermott from Creighton. And the best job out there is Louisville. Louisville's got the most pedigree of these. Michigan's a close two, but Louisville's got the most pedigree, and they've had success. It's been a while. Chris Mack did a nice job there before it fell apart on him a little bit. But if I'm Louisville, it's Dusty May at FAU, and here we go. The fact that FAU went to the Final Four, the fact that FAU is back in the tournament as an 8 seed, the fact that he didn't completely run it back, but that's a good basketball coach. He's a stable basketball coach, and the fact that you can, with Florida Atlantic, build what he's built, that's a Louisville should hire. So again, coaching hierarchy, number one, Louisville should hire Dusty May, FAU. Michigan should hire Greg McDermott from Creighton. That's number two on the list. Number three, West Virginia, they should hire Will Wade. Number four, Washington, Danny Sprinkle, Utah State. Number five is, again, it's going to start to get complicated in here. Some of these jobs are really, really tough to land. I mentioned Stanford, Mitch Henderson, Princeton. That's who they should go get. I talked about Vandy being Chris Mack. Those should be the circles. Go land them. The dots. And Vandy, Chris Mack, it is. And that's a smart hire for them. It's a good hire. Good, solid hire. He had a lot of success at Xavier. He had success at Louisville. It's a good basketball coach. Good for Vandy. SEC has some solid coaches. And I looked around. Remember, Stanford and Washington, both of those places would have been interesting, given the fact that Todd Colton's a West Coast guy, played at St. Mary's, coached out in San Francisco. That would have been interesting, especially Stanford. That would have been interesting. Stanford would have come knocking. But Florida locked him up. Smart. Smart, smart, smart. Same thing with Lamont Parrish at South Carolina with West Virginia. There we go. At least that's the coaching hierarchy, how I see it, and these guys line themselves up. Another one I had in there is like a curveball in there a little bit was Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, that was Eddie Sutton. They were a Final Four team with Eddie Sutton, but it's been 20 years ago. I don't even know really what to make of Oklahoma State anymore, but Amir Abdul-Rahim from USF, that's what I would do if I were Oklahoma State. So anyway, but that's how I look at the coaching hierarchy as we start to navigate this. And, there's always a team that makes a run into the Sweet 16. Teams sitting around and go, man, you have success there with that money and that revenue. Imagine what you could do for us. But it's also one of these things like a Porter Moser at Loyola Chicago. He goes to Oklahoma and it's like a little more difficult, isn't it? But you also reach certain limitations. And you can't do any more where you are. Or you build up what Mark Few did at Gonzaga. So, what do you do? Eventually the well runs dry at some of these places. And more money, more revenue, more opportunity. But the top three on that list, Louisville, Michigan, West Virginia, you can go to the Final Four in those places with the right revenue. The other one's a little bit tougher. I mentioned the Oklahoma States, the Washingtons, the Stanfords, the Vandys. It's a lot tougher. But those top three, there's no doubt to me that Louisville, Michigan, and West Virginia are 1, 2, 3 on that list. All right. A little ladies lay out. I am a fan of interesting storylines. If you recall, I said at one point that at the end of last season, women's basketball, what they should have done is the first game of the year this year should have been at Madison Square Garden, New York City, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, LSU, Iowa, let's do it. Should have been the first game. So schedules are made in advance. Add an extra game. There's got to be one in there that you can move around. Well, we'll play it twice. And teams are always adding games. Come on. You could have got that done. In fact, I would love to see that, kind of like what the NFL does, where the NFL comes out and the schedule comes out. And don't tell me college basketball doesn't have time. Of course they do. The NFL comes out with their schedule when? Here in a month? 6 weeks? So the NFL comes out with their schedule, and then we find out, okay, this team's going to play this team there. Well, probably going to have the Chiefs versus, think about it, defending Super Bowl champs, the Chiefs are going to host who? Who from the NFC? Start looking in the NFC. Who would they host? Rams? Cowboys? Chiefs, Cowboys? Chiefs, Cowboys would make sense. I have to look at the schedule and see. Chiefs, Packers? Something like that? Maybe? Chiefs, Niners? Although we just, yeah, I wouldn't want to do a repeat of the Super Bowl. Again, that's set up. Come on, we set that up. We set this up all the time. So the fact that, you know, these different regions, the way they're set up in college basketball, the fact that you have South Carolina, Notre Dame is a 1-2 in their region. The fact that you have Texas and Stanford, that's the region that people are just going to forget with this thing. Southern Cal and the UConn, Ohio State winner. But of all this, the fact that they have LSU is a 3 and Iowa is a 1. Now you can sit there and say that LSU got hosed and they should have been a 2 instead of UCLA. Fine, they're going to play each other. So they're going to end up playing each other anyway. It's just what color jersey they're wearing. So what, LSU has to play a 14 and UCLA has to play a 15? So in women's college basketball, they're going to skull drag those teams. They still are hosting their regionals. They're still hosting their region. And then they're going to meet up. It's what color jersey you're going to wear. So it looks like Iowa, and thank God, we're going to have an Iowa-LSU matchup to see who goes to the Final Four. Well, I want them to play against each other. You can't guarantee that, especially when it gets to the Final Four. The way women's college basketball works, you can't completely guarantee Elite Eight matchups, Sweet 16 matchups, but boy, oh boy, far fewer upsets in women's sports. Far fewer upsets. So we have a potential Elite Eight matchup. I'd rather see it in the Final Four. Well, that means you're going to have to put LSU as what, a 2 to Southern Cal? May not get it. You pretty much guarantee yourself at least one gigantic matchup. And when it's all said and done, you could have Iowa, UConn, South Carolina, Texas, or Stanford. You could also swap out UCLA in there, or LSU. Good for the women's committee to set this up this way. Basketball does this. They like to do it a little bit earlier because you get Texas and Tennessee playing each other. Like to do it a little bit earlier. Rick Barnes' team's taking on each other. We see this. The mentor versus the mentee. Good. I love it. NFL does it. NFL sets up schedules this way. College football, of course they do it when it comes. They're really going to do it once you get to 12. They're really going to be doing this. So I'm glad that the women's committee said, you know what? We got to get these two teams against each other before the Final Four. Because we can't have the risk of neither of them making it. If we get them together, one of them at least get there. Good for you, women's committee. Good for you. So there you go. There's your layout. The ladies' layout. Good job. And like organically, things find a way to work it out. But I'm the same way when it comes to golf pairings and groupings. First round of the Masters. I loved it when they put Tiger and Phil and Rory. Put them together. Well, I want to see it natural on Sunday. Look, if they play well, they'll play. We get 4 days of them against each other. I'm not saying you don't force feed it, but if you can get two big names together on day one, do it. That'd be egregious to really hose somebody's seating to get them to play out of the gate. But good for the women's committee on creating drama for the Final Four. Smart. Harp on Sports, the Bar, podcast, media, audio, radio network. Follow, share, like, subscribe. Harp on Sports Twitter, Harp on Sports Instagram, social media-wise. Harp on Sports, the auditory route, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Harp on Sports, the Bar, Harp on Sports, the Facebook page, Harp on Sports YouTube channel, and of course, harponsports.com. Remember, stay clean, stay focused, stay strong. Frankenstein, have fun with your friends.